Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Travis, are you surprised that we did not hear Brock Lesnar's name during Raw, to the best of my recollection?
I am a little bit, yes.
Yeah, I really expected, I expected an overt reference to it, maybe even some video highlights. Just own it. Everybody's thinking about it and talking about it, and I think people tuned into Raw expecting it, and now it sort of looks like WWE's maybe covering it up a little bit. We had a veiled reference by Reigns to a busy weekend. There's a lot I could have talked about. I think you might present the counter-argument, which is Extreme Rules is this Sunday. Let's focus on what we're selling.
I think that actually just really is the case. And the fact that Roman, even in a veiled kind of, plausible, deniable way, said what he said, I thought it was fine. I guess after the show's over, Raw was, I thought, a really good show. So it didn't bringing it up didn't, make the show not good. Because it was a good show, I didn't even really think about it. Once he got right to Bobby Lashley,
And that absolutely is. Even if people tuned in and they were hoping for some sort of comments from Reigns about Lesnar, and now he can't even, he's looking at other things. He's running from me, blah blah blah. I guess that comes next week or the week after Extreme Rules. This week they want people focused on a different MMA fighter, Bobby Lashley. You say it's a good show. Did you like what they did with Reigns and Lashley in the opening segment, and then also with the two backstage promos afterwards throughout the show?
Yeah, I liked the promos, the follow up in that setting. I wondered, is this going to be one of those things that's going to go throughout the show? Like, are they going to, an hour or two have another brawl backstage because it's just so intense? But I'm really glad they didn't do that, and the promos from both guys were decent enough, and we got to see Bobby Lashley's eyebrows and that close up shot they had on him at the opening.
So they've been spotted; they do exist.
I saw what were purported, which looked like were in where eyebrows normally go, but. I have my suspicions and thoughts.
There should be a T-shirt that's just like, Bobby Lashley's eyebrows, and just like an image of eyebrows, and see if it sells. Let's see if we can get that going. All right. Well, let's set the stage here after that illustrious start to the program. Eyebrow analysis. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show following the Monday, July 9th, 2018 edition of WWE Monday Night Raw. I appreciate everybody joining us today. The US consists of Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast cast, my co-host on today's program. Travis, good to have you back on the show.
Good to be back, Wade.
Excellent. So we're going to take phone calls. We're going to answer emails later in the program. We're going to talk to an on-site correspondent. So it should be a good show. We've got a lot to talk about with the last edition of Raw before Extreme Rules. We still have tomorrow's SmackDown in terms of developments for the SmackDown matches. But in terms of setting up Raw, I want to know what you think of the job that they did tonight. So get on the phone lines. The number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Push 1 on your keypad to indicate you want to be on the show. Otherwise, you'll just be in the background and we won't bring you on live. So you can call, and then when you're ready to talk, push 1, and that indicates that you've got a question or comment for us during this, the caller portion of the program. Well, I'll be talking later in the program about Travis's own podcast, the PW Torch East Coast cast. But first, Travis, let's reverse things and have you plug social media first. We'll get in some social media plugs and then get to calls.
Yeah, you can follow me, my personal Twitter, at TravLord, TRAVLORD, and you can follow the brand at East Coast Cast.
What's the story with TravLord? Why not just at Travis Bryant?
Well, that's just corny.
Yeah. I want a good story, not a boring story. Make something up awesome.
Yeah, no, it has to do with Lord of the Flies and like a ninth grade assignment that just stuck.
Ah, gotcha.
Here we are 30 years later or whatever.
I like that. Good stuff. You can follow me on Twitter. It's very boring. The Wade Keller. I know. Well, Wade Keller was taken, so you can follow him and yell at him. But The Wade Keller is my Twitter handle, and you can also follow our brand at PW Torch. You can also like me or like our brand on Facebook at facebook.com/PW Torch and friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/Wade Keller Torch. And of course, visit our website, pwtorch.com, for daily news updates, live Raw coverage, not only my report during Raw, but also Zach Haydorn's report on Raw as it happens. You can flip back and forth between our reports and compare what we're saying and thinking about the program. And throughout the whole week, all kinds of coverage. We had tons of coverage of New Japan's big show on Saturday night on Access TV. We had stories up on that and also the Brock Lesnar news over the weekend, with Brock Lesnar coming out and challenging the winner of the UFC heavyweight title fight on Saturday night. Happened to be Daniel Cormier, a longtime acquaintance of Brock. Daniel Cormier, a big pro wrestling fan, saying in the press conference that if WWE wants him to come to WWE and hype their fight or even take on Brock in a wrestling match, a fake one or a shoot fight, he's up for it between now and whenever they fight. Lesnar looking very dapper in his appearance and cut a pro wrestling style promo. When Daniel Cormier was asked at the press conference if that was too cheesy, too much like pro wrestling, Daniel just said, in so many words, any fighter who's criticizing that, do you want to make money or not? Which was a great answer. I mean, there's counter arguments to that, which is MMA survives because it seems more real. And when you have something like that, that cuts into the authenticity, the vibe of authenticity, that it can actually do more harm than good. But Cormier would disagree. Travis, do you see the any of the clips from Saturday?
I did. I saw from the finish of the match. Cormier got on the mic and started his, he's a wrestler, he's a blah, 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 and called out Brock. So starting there, I didn't see the fight or the immediate aftermath, but I saw from Cormier calling him out to the finish.
So you're not an MMA fan, but a follower of it, but you saw that clip. What vibe did you get? Did that look like a pro wrestling angle to you? Did it, through a pro wrestling fan lens, a primarily WWE fan lens, did it seem different than pro wrestling or like it? Because you can imagine a UFC fan who doesn't watch wrestling going, that looks like pro wrestling. But to you, did it actually look markedly different than a pro wrestling angle?
It was different because the setting. I mean, Brock's sitting in a crowd, not backstage. So that was a bit jarring. Like, he's calling a guy out that he can see. He's like, you know, I see you in the, you know, third row, fifth row, whatever, wherever Brock was. And he's like, you know, Brock, get, you know, after he did his introduction, you know, get in here. And Brock, on cue, you know, ran up the steps and then the thing started. It felt like wrestling because wrestling's like other things, just, you know, turned way up. So it always kind of feels like wrestling, but it was different enough where I don't think an MMA fan or even a purist, it was like, we've seen that plenty in UFC and in fighting.
Yeah.
Especially UFC, because the person's sitting in the crowd. And then they say, I see you sitting in the crowd, blah, 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 blah. Maybe the guy comes in and they do a stare, whatever. But I've seen that plenty. That's not.
Well, was there anything about that you liked that you think would be cool for WWE or other companies, pro wrestling companies, to incorporate, just in terms of the way it played out? If it is a pro wrestling type angle, it was produced by different people. Obviously, some improvised and some not, and the percentage is left up to people's imagination or speculation, I guess I should say. But are there aspects of that you like that would translate to WWE?
Well, of yes, because WWE does that kind of stuff all the time. WWE, boxing, UFC, it's not anything that was innovative. It was a guy after a fight calling out another guy, and they got into a shoving match and they yelled at each other. Like, that's like wrestling combat theatrics 101.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was asking, because like, I've just watched UFC since the very beginning of UFC, since UFC 1. And so I just kind of get used, you know, what do they say? Like the commercials now, you're nose blind. They're selling the air freshener stuff. Like I sort of become nose blind to UFC and WWE differences sometimes because I've just seen both evolve in real time for decades. So for someone like you who doesn't see a lot of them, I mean, I just didn't know if you're like, oh God, that was so much more authentic and here's why. Or, nah, just look, you know, like your answer's sort of like, nah, it's pretty much what WWE does.
It's we see them all boxing, shove, you know, weigh-ins, shoving matches and all that kind of stuff. It's
gotcha.
Like Cormier said, right? You want to make money or
exactly, yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's go to the phone lines again. 347-215-8558. By the way, I know we talk about Raw on the post on the Raw post show. It's the first time that I am doing a free podcast during the week. I've done a ton of podcasts since you last heard me on Friday's Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast and my interview with Cody Rhodes. If you haven't checked that out yet, I encourage you to do so. I just really, really enjoyed the conversation. I thought Cody gave great answers. It was, I just think, a fascinating conversation with Cody about his career, his future, whether he wants to return to WWE, and much more. It was on the eve of his big title fight against Kenny Omega for the IWGP heavyweight title. That's New Japan's top heavyweight singles belt. That aired on Access Television with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett calling the action. We have done a ton of analysis of that. I did a 45-plus minute analysis of that on Saturday night after the show for VIP members. I did hosted a Bruce Mitchell audio show where we talked about it, a special edition of The Fix with Todd Martin talking about it. And then there was also a roundtable that went over about 2 hours, hosted by PW Torch contributor Sean Radican, along with Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, PW Torch VIP analyst Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, who was phenomenal on that, and also longtime PW Torch VIP member and close New Japan follower Dan Kuster. And they were just fantastic in breaking down that event from all different angles. If that's a subject you're interested in and you want to hear more about, go VIP. I mean, I'm super proud of the work and the coverage that we had this weekend. And you can get information on VIP membership at PWTorchVIPInfo.com. That's PWTorchVIPInfo.com. Tons of podcasts. I mean, multiple VIP-exclusive podcasts every single day. We are on all over these big events, covering them the night of and the next day. So you're missing out on a ton if you're a New Japan fan and you're not a VIP member, including a lot of my analysis and that of our just the great team that contributed to all the coverage this weekend. All right, so... and by the way, best wishes to Jim Ross, who suffered broken ribs from apparently an unexpected bump that he took being knocked off the chair. Certainly the expression on his face looked like he was not anticipating a wrestler being whipped into his table at ringside and him being knocked over. Led to quite the scene. You can get full details at pwtorch.com with our report up there. Let's now go to our first
coach
Yes. What'd you think? Thank you for saying that. What'd you think of that? There was just it was out of nowhere. There was a spot. What match was it? Where someone got whipped into the Elias tag?
I think so, because it was later in the show.
Yeah, somebody got whipped into the railing, and Coach said, I bet that he might be suffering broken ribs. That seems to be going around from what I hear. And it was kind of snide in delivery. It seemed a little snide. What do you think?
And just you explaining what happened to JR, I'm like, oh, the way Coach said it, I assumed when I heard the news JR might have broken a rib from a bump at G1. I was like, Why the hell is JR participating in any kind of, you know, shenanigans where he's got to take a bump? So I just assumed he was involved somehow, got in some way. And then you explaining, and then when I heard Coach say it, I was like, you know, yeah, idiot, you know, 65-year-old man, what are you doing? But you saying, no, it was just... He got in the way of a 200-pound guy getting thrown at him. You know, he broke his rib in a shoot kind of thing. Yeah. Like, oh, what a scumbag, Coach. Like, geez. You know, that was unnecessary. So I'm like kind of rethinking the whole thing like in real time.
Yeah, and I think there's some people who are still going to be skeptical that it wasn't a planned spot. Jim Ross said, for the record, the quote bump I took at ringside was not storyline driven, nor was it discussed. I think I broke a rib. I couldn't put my roller bag in the overhead today after a sleepless Saturday night. And yeah, but the reason people think it was work is because Jim Ross was complaining about all the wrestlers whipping each other into the ringside railings for like several minutes before that happened. And so it's just so weird. It was like that then all of a sudden, you know, Juice Robinson and Jay White are fighting at ringside, and Jim's complaining about all the, you know, ref, get control, you know, get him back in the ring. Why are these railings need to be fastened together? And then what happens? Jay White whips Juice towards Ross. I don't know if he overheard him or not. And if you watch, Ross is not prepared for a fall and has a look on his face like, oh, crap. So it led to melee. So, I mean, I understand people think it was a work. I can't rule it out, but I don't think Ross would put his rep on the line by saying, going out of his way to say it wasn't. To my eye, it looked unexpected.
I don't think he put his body on the line.
That's a thing. I just don't think so either. Yeah,
beyond all the other, personality stuff or psychology behind something, no, I don't think he puts his health on the line for that.
Yeah.
For his health and because it's so unnecessary. He'd be like, no, that doesn't add to anything, or yeah, it's just me maybe getting hurt. That's stupid.
Agreed. All right, 646, you are up first. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, it's Vinny from Brooklyn.
Hey, Vinny, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
I just want to talk about the main event. I thought Drew McIntyre was great tonight. I thought, you know, Seth put him over nice. I thought he did a great job himself, and I thought the announcers were doing a good job all match, you know, talking how great he is and how unstoppable he is and how great he can be. And I thought tonight was a big night for Drew McIntyre, and I hope to see that they keep pushing him, you know, in that direction going forward.
Travis, first question for you. If he did not say his name was Vinny, would you have guessed it was Vinny? Because I think he sounds exactly like Vinny.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Vinny from Brooklyn. Hope that's
Vinny
okay.
Vinny from Brooklyn, right?
Totally, yeah. If someone said, hey, Vinny from Brooklyn's on the line, I'd been like, I know what he's going to sound like. That's awesome. Okay, yeah. We haven't talked about it much about Drew, but this was a big night for him. He lost to Seth Rollins. So you go, well, how's a big night for him? Well, it was like a 20-minute match. It was due to... saying? I'm totally backwards.
Yeah.
I was totally, you know why I said that? Because I was totally convinced the way the match was booked that he was going to lose because the announcers were saying, Drew looks unstoppable. We've never seen him look better. And they always do that right before somebody loses. And so I had it in my head watching the match. Ah, man, they're going to have Drew lose, but they're putting him over. But this is a good showing. Like, I had that whole narrative for the show plan in my head. And then they went and had a distraction by Ziggler lead to Drew hitting the, was it the Claymore kick at the end? Yeah. And getting him on Seth. So it was a distraction victory for Drew, not totally clean, but a long match. It took a while to get going. But Travis, I'm with Vinny. I thought it was a big night for Drew. I thought the announcing was a big part of it. They really told his story. Cole talked about his past and how he came to the WWE the first time as a chosen one and felt entitled and ended up getting fired, and now he's back to pick off the locker room one at a time. Yes, Seth was there as the top babyface star, you know, carrying the match, but Drew, I thought, was presented and framed as a big time star, and yes, got the win on Seth, even with interference. That means something.
Yeah, the only negative was that they did what WWE does all the time now with the kickouts in the last quarter of the match. It's just big move, kick out. And I just wish they'd find a way to cut that in half. But beyond that, it was a really good match. And I'm not thrilled that Seth's – I wish this was Seth's first loss, but you can't have that and him still be the not be the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
But I didn't – He was just unbeatable. Now he's like lost three matches in, you know, 6 weeks or something. And, you know, I just wish he wasn't losing, right, or at least as much in, you know, last month. But it was good stuff. It was good to watch. It was fun. And I loved the setup earlier in the show with Seth taunting him and really getting him worked up.
Vinny, what else do you want to add?
Just one more thing, and then I'll let you guys go. Is it just me, or does 2K write better TV than WWE writers actually write? I mean, I feel like every year these, you know, the video with Rousey today was great. and you know, with Seth Rollins last year and Goldberg a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I just, you know, maybe WWE writers can learn something from some of those vignettes.
Travis, let me throw this in, then I'll throw it to you, because you can speak to it more. This is kind of why I asked you earlier about kind of the USC comparison, because there are different ways to present pro wrestling. You know, I mean, there's different ways to film it, to frame stars, and WWE has their way. They're proud of it. They do a good job. They're this incredibly successful company. But there is something to we saw it last year. We see it this year, to having a different set of eyes and a different approach and vision for how to frame and produce a star, that I think this is an example of where WWE would benefit from some fresh eyes to freshen up the product and present some of its stars differently. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep two things. I don't want to forget my Roman point, but the 2K folks are good. Right. So, but to be fair to WWE and their writing staff, which, you know, not to defend those guys, they're not writing a maybe minute and a half, you know, for the long, you know, that one with Seth burning things down, or where Kurt showing up to the burned out thing and all that last year, or whenever that one was. That's like a minute of a thing. No dialogue. Just visuals and how you stylize it, how you cut it up and direct and edit it and stuff like that. So it's not much to learn beyond like, oh, that's new, that's cool, that's neat, that's an innovative style of, you know, filming or directing or shooting you know, thing. But they're not really writing. I mean, the Ronda thing, that was dialogue from a couple years ago with her and Roddy. It was really well done, but it's very different than what WWE does. But I will give you this. The 2K folks are really, really, really good and really smart. Do you know how I know they're good and how they're smart? In the last 4 years, they have refused, I bet, to put Roman Reigns on the cover. Because they're not idiots.
Yeah.
And they want the game to sell.
Yeah.
And they have the creative control to put who they want on the cover.
Yeah.
And they're not going to slap Roman Reigns on the thing and have people not buy it in protest.
Yeah, yeah. Hello point.
So I'll give them and I think there are fans, legit wrestling fans, on that, you know, on that 2K staff. And has been since the relationship started, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, whenever.
Yeah. Did you like Roman Reigns tonight more than usual, Travis?
Yes. It wasn't whiny Roman being, you know, a jerk either, like, you know, in the tag matches.
Yep.
I thought he looked terrible in those tag matches. He's hurt. He's holding his ribs. And Lashley's like, tag me in. He's like, no, you stand over there. I got it. I'm like, okay. I'm supposed to, like, be like, yeah, you tell him, Roman. So at least tonight it was just, you know, you could debate whether it was smart to call a guy out like they did, like the announcers talked about, you know, 6 days from a fight and get into a big old brawl. But, you know, it was aggressive punch throwing Roman and not, you know, self-entitled whiny Roman. And that's always good.
And that just when he dove out of the ring and then stood on the ramp afterwards and just showed fire, it felt like he was naturally hyped up. You know, like he was naturally feeling it.
I thought, holy crap, Bobby Lashley is wearing Roman's ass out. Like that entire time, every breakaway was Lashley jumping, you know, getting away from the wrestlers and jumping on top of Roman or shoulder blocking him on the outside, which I thought was really vicious. On a replay, less, but in real time, like, it's like, holy crap. And I was like, why is Lashley getting in so much? Why is he just the dominant one? He's on tape through. Remember, he was in such control. He didn't grab Roman in this sea of people after beating him down and threw him into the ring. But then they had Roman do the big dive and then the spin move attack. So I kind of come out on top and his music got played. So I thought, you know, oh, okay, Lashley had to absolutely dominate that, you know, first 70% of the angle or the brawl because Roman was going to get the two big memorable spots in.
Yeah. Yep. Well put. Vinny, appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go to 814 next. 814, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan, what's on your mind tonight?
I had a question about the entire match with Nia Jax. If they did the old school heart attack move, the announcers didn't even sell it. Mm-hmm. So when was the last time Natalya did that move? I think that was a pretty nice tribute to Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah, Travis, you...
I couldn't tell you for sure, but I would guess it was when she was teaming with Beth Phoenix, you know, when they had their alliance. Mm. So I just don't see who else would have... I'm surprised that she did it with Nia, but they're pushing that they're, you know, pals and whatever. So, but yeah, that was cool. And the announcer, somebody jumped in the thread we have on Facebook and was like, God damn it. Like they didn't, like what are the announcers doing? Like Corey Graves, like my fingers pointed all the way at you. Like he's, you know, at this point, like he doesn't get any passes from me. And that's just, that was kind of egregious. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ryan, anything else for us?
The only other thing is, I know the announcers were making some pretty silly comments tonight. Like they said, Mojo Rawley's about the same caliber athlete as Bobby Lashley. And I know Mojo used to play professional ball, but I just don't see it in the ring that he's quite that caliber of athlete. Do you agree with that?
Well, that was something that Coach said. He said, you know, Graves, Corey, you're probably going to give me a hard time for this, but I see the type of athleticism in Mojo I see in Bobby. And I'm fine with that. I mean, Coach is trying in his role to have a purpose and be therefore somewhat provocative and break away from just the standard narrative that Cole and Corey kind of are in sync on. It can go too far sometimes, but I mean, if you're trying to give Mojo a push and he's getting a pretty decisive win, and you're kind of telling the story that maybe he's getting more serious and finding a groove and should be taken seriously. I'm not saying Mojo's going to be headlining a WrestleMania, but I like the idea that he's on a journey. And part of the journey of a wrestler moving up the card is comparing him to people who are already higher up the card. He didn't say he thinks he can beat him. He just said his athleticism, you know, is comparable, his strength and agility on that. And I think it's a fair thing for Coach to say, Travis.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not anything. I heard it and I went, oh, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too big of a deal. Well, anyway, we got a lot more to talk about on tonight's Raw, but I want to get to our on-site correspondent in just a minute. But Travis, I want to give you a chance to plug your podcast that is live every Wednesday night and downloadable on Thursdays. Let people know what it's about and where they can find it.
Yeah, you can listen live every Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern to about 9 or 9:30 Eastern. You can find us at eastcoastcast.com and listen live every Wednesday, 6:30. And we take calls, we take emails, we take tweets, we have a voicemail line. So there's plenty of ways to get at us and to communicate with us. It is a wild and woolly show. So it's not minivan friendly. So it's pretty raunchy and there's no subjects off limits whatsoever.
You're not kidding.
If you want to, you know, hear about how I lost my virginity, there's an episode with me talking about that very candidly. All kind of stuff. Yeah. So eastcoastcast.com, all our social media links and phone numbers and everything is there. eastcoastcast.com.
And, search Apple Podcasts to search, I think East Coast Cast brings it up. You can search PW Torch. It'll pop up as one of the results there, too. Same thing, I think, with Google Podcasts now, too. But pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, just search PW Torch or East Coast Cast, and it'll pop up. Or like Travis says, go right to their homepage at eastcoastcast.com. All right, cool. We'll be back after this with our on-site correspondent. Find out what it was like in the building, which, by the way, WWE is very proud to be in Boston. This was not Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Big banner in the upper left of the screen, outside of the arena, references to Boston. So Boston, well, you can be...
That audience paid them back for that, too, all night. That was a really good, really hot crowd. And they had reason to be loud and
yeah,
all that.
Yep. Cool. So we got a lot more. I looked at the inbox of the show. We got a lot of good topics to get to that you guys have emailed about. There's other aspects of the show I want to talk to Travis about. So we got a lot more to come, but up next, our on-site correspondent.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Sala Monster sounds off.
Since 2007, the Sala Monster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, we are back, and we're with our on-site correspondent from Boston, and that is Adrian. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Wade. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Appreciate you volunteering. Let's begin. Just talk about this, the how full the building was tonight for Raw.
The building was great. I think that the atmosphere was really good, and even though I kind of felt like the build to Extreme Rules hasn't been the greatest, but for the go home show, I think that a couple of aspects worked pretty well, and the crowd was really into it, especially opening segment with Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns kind of got things off on hot start. So the crowd kind of was really into most of the things that they should have been into, I think, for most of the night.
How many times have you been to a TV event in that building?
A number of times, honestly, probably over the years, more than 10 or 15 or so.
So where does this rank in terms of how full the building was compared to other events? More or less about typical?
About typical. There were, it was pretty full there in terms of all around the arena. Obviously, the side near the staging was blocked off, but pretty much everything from, you know, hard camera side, the lower level up to the balcony seating was pretty full. Yeah.
Did they have any tarps up? Besides being the
not
stage?
That I, yeah. Yeah, no, not that I could see. Not that I could see.
All right, cool. So let's talk about the Roman Reigns reaction. He definitely got booed to the point that Michael Cole called him, you know, the most polarizing sports entertainer in the world today, or, you know, whatever they always say, the polarizing mm-hmm. thing. But how did the crowd react initially, either to him on the big screen or walking out, compared to how they reacted at the end of the segment and then maybe a couple hours later with the backstage promo that I assume aired in the building too?
Yeah, so it was interesting in the sense that the initial backstage segment with Reigns and Lashley interacting, the crowd pretty much booed that. And when Roman came out, it was more boos than anything else. It wasn't until Lashley came out and they started to get physical that then people got into it and they were cheering for the whole brawl and the locker room emptying and all that happening. So they really got into that whole aspect of it and Roman jumping over the top rope onto everybody there and all of that. But even later on in the night, when they showed Bobby Lashley individually on the screen, it was actually pretty quiet and maybe a few boos, maybe a few cheers, but pretty quiet. And then when Roman was on screen in a segment later, it was also pretty clear boos. So it was clear to me that people still weren't invested in them individually. They were just more so, I thought, intrigued or interested by the brawling and the fighting because it was kind of one of those, everybody's clearing the locker room and things are going crazy type of moment. So that was fun and engaging, but didn't seem like the crowd was really behind them, either one of them individually.
Interesting. We were talking. There's this question of which match will go on last at the pay per view. Do you get the sense a crowd would be supportive of Lashley and Reigns going on last on Sunday?
I don't think so. I guess it depends, obviously, on how the match goes. I think initially I would doubt that they would be. Maybe if it turns into something where they're just, you know, going to town on each other, or it's a really intense fight. Maybe I think that interestingly enough, I would think that Seth and Dolph could potentially be, or I think would be, seems to me like the most intriguing match on the card, and what, at least what people in the arena tonight were definitely the most invested in, especially because it's Seth.
Yeah, did Seth get the biggest babyface reaction of anyone?
Yes, definitely, by hands down, by far.
And who was next, you know, in the next tier?
Probably either Finn, in terms of people who were on the show. I think Braun came out later in a dark match, and he got a pretty big pop. But, you know, for people who actively wrestled on what was actually shown on Raw, I probably would be Finn, I think.
Okay. Travis, what have you got for Adrian?
So Sasha Banks wasn't in the arena, I assume, unless she showed up for a dark match or...
No, not at all.
Did anyone care, is my question.
Because
I think that's why nobody, she was kept off out of the arena. Because they're like,
yeah, no, nobody vocalized it. There weren't any "We Want Sasha" chants or anything like that. When they showed the short segments with them in the therapist's office, which I also thought was interesting because it was a different therapist and not Dr. Shelby, and it was very short, at least in the arena. I don't know if they showed longer segments on TV.
Nope.
People were either generally quiet or they kind of booed it, so it seemed like they weren't really happy about it, but it was also, it seemed so short that nobody could really get behind it one way or the other.
Except the
first one.
The first one barely got to talk. The next two or maybe three, it was just, they never even showed the therapist again. It was just a shot of those two on the couch.
It was weird because it was billed as earlier in the day, but they kind of kept going to it like they're still chatting on the couch.
They called it friendship counseling this week. Like, this thing has been all over the place. I thought Bailey lost her heat the moment she went backstage and Kurt booked it. Then they changed it to both of them have to. Because remember, it was initially Bailey, you're going to counseling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they changed it. And then I said, if counseling, number one, isn't a punchline, like, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but it's like, therapy isn't a joke. Like, it's not, like, not everything has to be. And then on top of it, it's like, you shouldn't do this with main event acts. And for all intents and purposes, Bailey and Sasha Banks are main event acts, at least in the women's division.
Yep.
Bryan and Kane were not. They were in a tag team. They were an odd couple duo. You can do comedy with them. So I said, if they bring Dr. Shelby in and do comedy, it's going to kill the entire thing. And exactly that happened. It was garbage last week. That was so bad. And they're just let's just scrap it and kind of like pretend like Dr. Shelby stuff didn't happen. And it's just, but we can't, we have to keep doing these therapy sessions, but let's get past it as soon as possible. And next week, once there's no pay-per-view, the hype will move along because remember, they even hinted next week, Kurt's not going to have the pay-per-view on his mind and he'll be able to like make a judgment and blah, blah, blah.
They did say that.
I felt like that's what it was to a certain extent. I think that might have also been because of the crowd reaction when Bailey ultimately, attacked Sasha. And I don't necessarily know if that's what they were expecting or anticipating or wanted. And I feel like now, especially after maybe things haven't worked out the way they wanted it, they are trying to some extent, hit the reset button and kind of just like, all right, let's pretend this never happened and cool things off, and we'll deal with this after Extreme Rules is over, and we'll try to build it back up. But that's what I feel like they've turned to. But
yeah. Let me ask you how Drew McIntyre came across in the TV main event and in the segment that built up to it. Did he seem to have a presence that grabbed, like when he spoke, were people listening? Did he seem like he had a presence in that building as a top level star?
He seemed like that. I think in the segment before the match was made, I think obviously where with Seth kind of goading him, I want to say that almost made him diminished him in some respect. That made him look like, oh, he can't, he's rising to what Seth's stupid jokes about him or whatever the case may be.
Fair enough.
So,
which I thought,
you know,
Like, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of a little much. And I was with a group of people who, some people who've never really watched wrestling or never been there, and they're kind of like, what is that really what he's implying there? So that was interesting. But yeah, in the match itself, I thought that the crowd was a little quiet as it was going on. They definitely got more and more into it as it went longer and longer. And there are, you know, more two counts. And I think obviously, by the end, people were into it, and there was a "This is awesome" chant. So I think that he built it, and I think Seth definitely helped with that. But yeah, I think people were into it and into him, in the match by the end of it.
I didn't think Seth should be standing in the center of a ring on national television saying, "I hope there aren't pictures." That I'd like, where is he going with this? And I wouldn't be scripting that for Seth.
Yeah. It felt a little awkward.
Yes, it was.
I actually thought that's what made the line good. That guy shouldn't, he knows.
It made the line good, but is it really advisable in the macro
sense? Who's going to? Like it's a line and then it's gone. Nobody's.
Well, we're talking about it, and now people that don't know are gonna be like, "What are they talking about?" And then it's like it's just sometimes you just want to let things just be part of the past, not bring them up. That's all I'm saying. All right. The Mojo Rawley No Way Jose match. Did that hold the fans' interest, or did it seem like time to go get some popcorn?
I think generally it was. Time to get some popcorn. I mean, there were definitely. I mean, the arena was still majority full. There people were somewhat into it. It didn't get a significant reaction. I it didn't sound like more than honestly any of the other matches. It wasn't really anything to. Like write home about. I don't think anybody would remember it any more that walking away than just kind of your average match.
Okay. And did at any point did they just completely lose the crowd? Like anything jump out to you?
There was a point where they started chanting "Let's go Celtics." So I think that probably would be a point where they were a little lost. There was somebody who was standing up with a "Let's go Celtics." Fine, so they kind of got the crowd into that, but that didn't last too long. But
what other chants were there? Because there was a point, maybe Travis, you picked up on it, and I didn't. And I wish I should have taken a note on it when I couldn't figure out what they were saying during a segment. So, just Adrian, do you remember any chants in particular that stood out to you? Beyond that, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
No, I mean not any more than the normal chance, either "Burn It Down" for Seth, or like I said, "Let's Go Celtics" is probably the only thing that was more out of the ordinary than anything else, I would think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Get the tables, things like that, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Travis, what, anything else for Adrian?
No, I think you guys covered my Sasha thing, yeah.
Sure. So what happened, if you were there in time, what happened before Raw went on the air, and then also talk about the dark match with Strowman?
So I wasn't there before. I got there essentially kind of in the middle of the Roman when they were just starting, so I didn't see what happened before. But the dark match was a six-man tag, and so it was Seth and Roman and Braun against Dolph and Drew. And Kurt came out. And announced that Kevin Owens he had been medically cleared to compete, so he was going to be the third person. Kevin Owens' music played, and he didn't come out initially. And then Kurt had went backstage and kind of dragged him out, and he kind of stood on the stage for a little while, and he didn't want to come in. And then Braun ran up the ramp and grabbed him and threw him into the ring, and they started the match. And ultimately. Braun and Seth and Roman team won, and Braun then got the pin on KO.
Okay. The overall star power in the show, and granted, they made up for it a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say made up for it. I'm loading the question. But they added to the star power depth with the dark match. But having been to that building a lot of times for WWE events and TV shows in particular, mm-hmm. how did this mm-hmm. feel in terms of your personal opinion on the star power of the show and just kind of a general sense of the audience? Because, I mean, scrolling through the results here, you know, there's no Brock Lesnar. There's no Ronda Rousey. It's a part of the roster split era. I mean, it just it doesn't feel in like even Reigns and Lashley. I mean, they had their brawl at the beginning, and then after that, it is. I mean, you're talking about a pretty. I don't know. To me, it looks sort of thin. But I don't. How did it feel like to you? And that doesn't mean it's not a good show. But just in terms of like thinking, there was a lot. There were a lot of stars that you paid to see, and they were there. How did it feel before and then taking into consideration the Braun Strowman dark main event?
Yeah, so before the dark main event, it kind of felt like that, like a little thin on star power. And to some extent, I think that's also because I don't think that they necessarily do that great of a job of building up the current guys and women that they have on the roster to make them feel like stars where, you know, and but here they didn't necessarily use everyone. I expected to see Strowman in a match. He wasn't on Raw except for the kind of backstage segment. And then it felt like, oh, the dark match was kind of the payoff. Hey, we paid to see Braun, you know, and we're going to actually put him in the ring. So for the paying crowd here in the arena,
yeah.
But it didn't, you know, it didn't necessarily translate to the on-screen part of the show. So it did kind of feel like that. And even though Seth and Drew ended up being a good match, that in and of itself, again, because of kind of where I guess Drew is right now, didn't necessarily feel like, oh, that's a huge main event at the time. You know, it turned out to be a very good match, but I don't think they necessarily build people to. Yeah.
No, and that's good because that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a difference between it's a good show, and then there's another category of it was a good show, but I don't feel like I saw WWE Raw at a time that there was a lot of depth in terms of top tier stars who were there. And of course, it doesn't take much to flip that over. If you got Ronda Rousey and Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar and all that, but I mean, I wouldn't say it was atypical. It was all that. It wasn't all that unusual in terms of how thin it was. But, yeah, I look at this and I'm like, yeah, I wonder what it's like in the building for someone like you who had seen so many different shows where certainly there are times where it feels like there's more star power than others.
Certainly. And obviously Cena's been there many times, so that makes a difference, especially with the Boston crowd. So even small things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So where'd you sit? And if you don't mind, what'd you pay for your ticket? And did you think it was good value for where you sat?
Sure, yeah. I was sitting in the balcony 300 levels. Like I said, I brought a large group with me, and I think we paid like about $35 per ticket. So
yep.
for where we were, I thought it was the value was good. Yeah.
Cool. Anything else from the show jump out to you before, during, after observations for being there?
Just that, like I said, I was with a large group of people that most of them either have never watched wrestling or haven't been watching it recently, and they all had a really good time, and they were invested in the storylines and what was going on, and I think it was very clear. The crowd was was into it, and it was booing and cheering at different points, so they could tell, you know, where they were supposed to and what to get into, and so I think that overall, like I said, even though it maybe felt a little shorter on star power, the show itself was, I thought, a solid show and a good time, you know, for first-time viewers.
Excellent. Well, Adrian, I appreciate you being on an on-site correspondent for us today.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Absolutely. And actually, it looks like we did get an email here. We can fill in a couple gaps on the dark matches before Raw went on the air. The Authors of Pain defeated Titus Worldwide with Dana Brooke in an opening dark match. Titus was pinned after a double team move by AOP. Crowd had a decent pop for AOP, and they were surprised to see them. And then a match for main event followed. Chad Gable beat Curt Hawkins. The crowd was really behind Hawkins, but dead for Gable. The crowd knew the outcome was a foregone conclusion, which took any excitement away from it. This, by the way, is John Michael Elder. Who was a correspondent at the event for us tonight, sending in the email. So we appreciate, always, by the way, if you don't want to be on the show, or be an on-site correspondent, or you volunteer, but we just get a lot of volunteers and you aren't chosen, you can send us an email like John did with details on the show. We always appreciate layers of information to fill in gaps and just get different opinions. He said the biggest pop of the night by far was for Seth Rollins and then Finn Balor. And the crowd has surprisingly enjoyed the Rollins-McIntyre-Ziggler banter. The Reigns-Lashley feud did not generate real interest. The crowd popped for the excitement of everyone rushing to the ring area. And the Reigns dive was great for a spot, but the crowd doesn't care about their feud. The main event was really fun back and forth, but only about 80% of the crowd remained for the show's final hour, which is really unfortunate. It is late there, though. The Balor-Rude and Elias Corbin match was second best of the night, with the crowd loving Balor and Elias getting great heat. Corbin's crowd response was flat. The crowd pops for Rude, but not nearly at the level of Balor and Rollins. Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise the crowd not popping at the Seth and Balor level for Bobby Roode. He just isn't, or should we call him Bob Roode? He just isn't portrayed at that level. But anyway, I appreciate that, John. Appreciate your thoughts. We're going to come back after this with the mailbag segment and cover some other topics from Raw that we haven't hit yet.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back for the mailbag segment of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. You can find our show live after Raw and SmackDown, about 5 minutes after the show ends. We go live and take phone calls and talk about the program. You can find that stream at WadeKellerPostShow.com. That's WadeKellerPostShow.com. And if you're not subscribing to all four of the Wade Keller podcasts during the week, be sure to search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever app you use to download podcasts. Search Wade Keller and be sure to subscribe to both the blue logo and the red logo. The blue logo is for the shows later in the week, the flagship and the interview. And the red logo is for the post shows following Raw and SmackDown. All the shows are free, and all the shows are ad-free and plug-free if you're a VIP member. Find out information on all the benefits that VIP members receive at pwtorchvipinfo.com. It includes over 30 years of archives of podcasts and retro radio shows from the 1990s and interviews that I've done over the decades, long-form insider interviews, and over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter. Full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. I encourage you to give us a try. There's a lot going on and a lot we're covering, and you're missing out on a lot. Even though these four podcasts seem like a lot, there are so many others that you're missing out on, including really timely coverage of major events, including WWE's Extreme Rules coming up this Sunday night. I'll be hosting a post-event roundtable with Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin exclusively for VIP members. All right, Travis Bryan from the PW Torch East Coast cast is still with me, of course, and we did get an email on the coach comment about Ross. Jorge's from Miami just going, did anyone else notice in the middle of the Matt Hardy Bo Dallas match? That's what it was. Coach said broken ribs have been going around these days, referencing Jim Ross in the G1 special. So yes, we did notice. I just want to underline, I think that those types of things, when they're mentioned, they seem so personal and unnecessary and petty that it undercuts a lot of what WWE puts a lot of time and effort into trying to do, building their brand with charitable work, and we put smiles on people's faces and all that. How do you feel about that, Travis? Just develop thick skin. Hey, there's their ex-colleagues. Maybe there's some heat there. Maybe people interpret it as friendly ribbing. What's your take when they go into that territory?
No pun intended, I'm sure.
It wasn't intended, but I appreciate the laugh because now I see what I just said.
it's another another poke in the eye that WWE loves to do to people they so-called care about. Or people that have been, you know, loyal to them and have gone above and beyond as far as, you know, work and career and focusing on WWE stuff only. I mean, no one could ever question JR's contributions, but it's not, you know, you could think it's a coach being, you know, just a little snide remark, but unfortunately there are 20 years of examples. So
yeah. And I mean, Jim makes himself a target, or, you know, makes himself targets, maybe overstating it, but he gives opportunities for people to take digs at him in the way that he carries himself sometimes. And certainly he can take it, and he's not going to complain, and he's dished it out. I'm purely talking about WWE's brand image and brand building. And whether if I'm Vince McMahon, I want that stuff to be said. And again, it's Vince McMahon, and I mean, it's stuff that he likes, and he gets a kick out of it. And, you know, wrestling is his social outlet, and this is how he gets his kicks. But I think it's bad for the brand. Yeah, Travis.
But they also get a pass because only folks like us understand what's going on as far as that goes. It's not going to – no kind of stink is ever going to be made where Snickers, you know, and they made their, you know, corporate power felt, you know, it's not going to get to that level or anything close.
Although I will – no, you're right. But for fans who know, they're an influential group. You know, I mean, the fans who watch Saturday or are following Ross on social media and through his podcast, I mean – that they know what happened and they see. And so it's not nothing. You know, I mean, we can say, well, it was, you know, a lot of people aren't going to know. A lot of people aren't. And they'll continue to drink the Kool-Aid and maybe buy whatever WWE is selling and without any skepticism at all or, you know, whatever. I mean, but I think there's enough people who know it can work against them and build up some animosity towards a brand that's just unnecessary, and I don't think worth it. I mean, again, they can get away with it with their TV deals. I mean, they're sort of kryptonite now when it comes to that because they've got years of this crazy money coming in. But it doesn't mean we can't comment on it. Yeah. All right. Ryan from Halifax, Nova Scotia says, my question is, why doesn't Raw and Kurt Angle create an interim Universal Championship? They did it before in kayfabe when CM Punk left, and they had that tournament on Raw, and it seems like this is a case... It seems like in this case, creating an interim Universal Championship would be a reasonable kayfabe solution, having Brock not wanting to defend. On the non-kayfabe side of things, it seems this may alleviate some of the fans' hate for not having the top champion there week to week and would also give the final clash with Brock more hype, in my opinion. If Brock truly isn't going to show up on WWE TV again until 2019, then why can't Reigns versus Lashley be for the interim championship? Thanks for this podcast and all the other great content on PW Torch. I really enjoy the wide variety of voices and opinions that you guys have to offer. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. If Lesnar doesn't show up until early next year, if it were that long, is that just absolutely ridiculous and they should either strip him or have an interim championship? At what point are you in favor of either stripping Lesnar or having an interim championship where it just becomes too much to have him not actually defending the title and making the company look impotent?
I hate the idea of an interim championship. No matter how you do it, I do not like it. Like, having an interim champion is not going to make people... I forget how he phrased it, but, you know, it might help people not care or so much that the actual champion is not around. Like, well, you're certainly going to be reminding them every week when the person comes out with the, you know, interim championship belt. I think that's how they – didn't they have the actual belt in UFC, like when someone is a
– Yeah, yeah, they have champion? An actual belt, yeah.
So – yeah.
See, Travis, you're a UFC expert. Look at you.
You'd have to just take the damn thing from him. And it's from I saw WWE say Brock Lesnar won't be up showing up at SummerSlam. Like, however I saw it, it was through whether it was an alert on my through the WWE Network push notifications or if I saw their Twitter or something. I saw them say Brock's not going to be due to a conflict or some crap. Brock's not going to be on SummerSlam. So it's to me, it's them. They're okaying it. So I'm not putting it on Brock in a sense of, oh, he's not showing up. You either get the title off of him and say, you know, we're holding it up and whatever, or you don't and you live with the fact that you don't have a champion for 9 straight months or whatever it would be if he didn't show up till January or February. And also, don't bring up that damn tournament from 2010, because that just remind that was just peak scumbag John Cena. And remember Rey Mysterio was champion for like an hour, and then like it wasn't that, and Cena like at the end of the show like beat him. It was such nonsense. But yeah, no interim champion. Just get the title off of him or deal with it.
So your vote is strip him of the title versus having an interim championship.
Yeah, if he's literally just not going to show up, yeah. Well, give us our friggin' belt.
Isn't it crazy? Like, can you imagine a year ago saying, oh, by the way, or 5 months ago, saying, oh, Dolph Ziggler is going to be holding the top singles title on the Raw brand?
Yeah. I like how they correct. No, I wouldn't. But I like how Cole corrected Coach when he said he's going for the title. And Cole's like, the Intercontinental title. That was when a snide comment would have been effective, and you go, well, it's the main title right now, or something like. You just let Cole go. Oh, the Intercontinental. Like maybe I thought Coach meant it, like the title. Maybe yeah. He did. Maybe he just, you know. But I took it as, you know, hey, that's your opportunity to go. This is the main championship right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a good thing there's a dual brand. Dual brand.
Oh, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
So I swear the only reason they did the angle with Lashley and Roman was because to offset what's already bubbling, because they say AJ and Rusev won't be the main event. It's going to be Lashley versus Reigns, and people are already like, I'm walking out. I'm not going to, you know, stick around for that main event. It's a bunch of crap. And I was thinking, well, of all the months or of all the, you know, these are two even, you know, Lashley before tonight, Lashley Roman had no real juice. And same with AJ and Rusev. It's not really. It's like, eh, you know. So I think by default, AJ and Rusev, because that's a championship, and that's and Roman and Lashley, it's just a grudge match that who cares? They're a couple of dickheads that I don't care. I'm sorry, whatever. You know that I'm whatever. So I really think they had to do something to make people go, oh, I can't wait to see these guys get their hands on each other in a more controlled, you know, fighting environment.
They do have a bit of a dilemma because it's one of the least, you know, we talk about, well, the WWE title on SmackDown ought to get a main event spot now and then. It's kind of the underdog title on the B brand. You know, it won't be the case in 14 months or 15 months, but it is now. And who is AJ defending against? Rusev. And Rusev is a red hot babyface, but as a heel, he's not. It's not from a marquee standpoint at that level. You know where you think
right
of it as
close.
Yeah. So, I mean, Reigns and Lashley. Reigns is presented lately as a bigger star than AJ in the totality of WWE's presentation. But you also have the cage match with Braun and KO. I could see them just headlining with that to try to avoid the backlash against Roman that will be there. What would you do? You know, what's your first choice and second choice in terms of match order? I mean, you could do the women's match last because Ronda Rousey is going to be ringside, and you know, depending on the finish and the angle there, maybe it's a chance to kind of serve that women's revolution speak and walk the walk.
Yeah, I don't know if Nia, Alexa are there to. I just don't think that's compelling enough. Storyline wise, and even though they had a really nice match last month, I don't know if the wrestling, even with the distraction of Ronda Rousey being ringside, I just don't think it's enough. So again, this is the month, this is the show where you've got three kind of even, not marquee plus kind of matches that you could swap out, but I would do by default, like I said a minute ago, I do AJ Rusev because that's the WWE Championship. This isn't Edge holding the world title or Del Rio holding the world title in 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can just throw that thing on first. I mean, you can, but I don't think they'd want to do that to the WWE title, Bruno's title, Hogan's title, Austin's title, you know, that thing.
And granted, there's only one pay-per-view per month now, so they take on more meaning than when there were two. But it's Extreme Rules in July. You know, this isn't SummerSlam. I mean, it's not the Royal Rumble. You can it's a non-paper. It's the non-pay-per-view era. It's the WWE Network era. They're going to be just fine in whatever match order they have. So sometimes just put a match out there that where you got a popular babyface defending a title. He's going to, in all likelihood, retain it, and just take that approach. And send that message that the WWE title isn't so weak that it's not a bigger deal than just a Roman Reigns grudge match. I just think that sends such a bad message. If they do that,
and
yeah.
you're tempting fate by taunting the fans in that way.
Totally. All right. Let's see. SC says, I thought the overall show was good, but it's obvious now that Drew McIntyre will interfere Sunday, but it'll be against Dolph to help Rollins because he's now beaten him, and McIntyre can do it again for the Intercontinental title. They play this up a little bit where Seth started saying, you know, why are you letting Ziggler lead you around by the leash? Why, you know, I know where you'll be. You'll be wherever Dolph tells you to be, Drew. And Drew kind of, you know, puffed out his chest, and Ziggler seemed insecure about it, going, whoa, 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 let's not let him get in your head. What do you think of this kind of, for WWE standards, relatively subtle teasing that maybe Ziggler and Drew are not going to be aligned for long? And where does that go? I mean, where does it make sense to take it?
I think it makes sense to take it to the end of the year, take it to the fall at least, through the fall, maybe into the winter, into the end of the year. I think Rollins having that line is good to set that up and put that in fans' minds for something that you pay off in 4 or 5 months, not at the pay per view 6 days later. Like, what? That would just be.
They haven't even gotten around to establishing why these two are together. And
right.
You know,
Rollins saying what he said is like, yeah, let's start the process of fleshing this relationship out and so we can do some interesting things.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. All right, Michael in Cincinnati says, I understand what story is being told when 90% of the roster can't keep two wrestlers separated. But isn't there a way to portray the intensity of the rivalry and the physical dominance of Roman and Bob without squashing most of the roster? I can understand guys like Rhino and Hawkins being out there, but Finn Balor? What does this mean for Finn moving forward? Am I looking into this too much? I love the show. Keep up all the great work that you do. Again, that's Michael in Cincinnati. There's another email about Finn. Jason D. says from Austin, Texas, is it just me or are all these pull-apart segments becoming an old and tired fallback for a go-home show before a pay-per-view? Also, why exactly would anyone on the roster care to even get involved in a pull-apart? Take Finn Balor, for example, whose number one goal has been to reclaim the Universal title he never lost. Instead of letting Roman and Bob kill each other, everyone is putting Bob in quote marks now in the email, he's getting tossed around by Roman Reigns and even appeared to cower to him alongside Bobby Roode after the over-the-top dive. As a Finn Balor fan, it's quite sad to see him out there getting tossed around ringside alongside lower-tier guys like Curt Hawkins, Mike Kanellis, and The Ascension. Unless this Constable Corbin feud is somehow leading to an authority versus Balor angle, ending with a big time angle versus Triple H, I just don't see anything good coming his way. Please trade this man to SmackDown. So, Travis, your thoughts on those two emails?
Yeah, I first, did you see Finn Balor? Corey Graves called it out, like took a shot at Corbin, like during that whole thing, and I was waiting intently for Corbin's revenge. I was like, oh, he's going to get him when his back's turned, and this is going to, you know, lead to their match because they had a match later. But it just made Finn, who did it first, kind of already was kind of a jerk. But then even bigger because Corbin didn't even try to get any. I don't know if it was planned or what, but I get the point of. I'm more of the, well, there should be you security guards and refs. Right. Because of the last point, why would you get involved? Why would anybody like even Rhino and Curt Hawkins like, hey, guys, come on. Like, and why was that many wrestlers just waiting to run out? You know, like if think back to when New Day Hey, you say, oh, this was the end of the show, but whatever. Think back to when New Day rated, or not New Day, New SmackDown rated Raw and beat everybody up. Like, it was portrayed like you would think it was should be. Like, wrestlers that aren't due to, like, wrestle in the next, you know, 30, 40 minutes are backstage in various places, maybe in catering, in a locker room, stretching various parts of the arena. So everybody's not in a central place looking at a TV or whatever. But somehow, you know, 20 wrestlers were at Kurt's beck and call for him to start waving his hand, and less than 5 seconds, 10 seconds later, they're all out there. So I have more problem with the with the narrative and the setup and the setup of the whole thing. It's just a typical, you know, these two monsters are raging and nobody can control them. I don't look at, oh, and Balor and Bobby Roode were not cowering. I thought they were like, hey, chill out. They were telling them, relax, relax, relax. It's not cowering to the guy. It's not like Roman had his fist up, like, I'll punch you. Don't come close to me. And they were like, dude, no, no. Like, no, they were just trying to get a guy to back off and relax. So making people look bad or anything, I don't think of it that way. Like I said, I have more of an issue with why is everybody willing to – like, that's not your job. Like, what if I twist my ankle trying to be a security guard? Like, what the hell? What? Like, I think that should be a legit concern in those mosh kind of melee kind of sections. I'm always concerned about eye pokes and twisted ankles. Like, oh, at the end, Bobby Lashley almost fell over an Ascension guy. Easily, you know, oh, sprained knee. You know, maybe the match is not as good Sunday because he's got this fresh injury. So I'm always – that's just my nervous kind of personality.
Yeah, yeah. Another email on this. Tim from Dayton says, am I the only one who thinks the entire Raw men's roster was buried by the brawl? Big guys like Authors of Pain and Titus and Baron weren't able to hold them back? Also, it was interesting noting who they didn't have run out. Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, and Kevin Owens. Should we take this as showing who they actually value? Well, I don't know that Kevin Owens they actually value. The storyline with him is he wasn't medically cleared, and I can't imagine Kevin Owens' character caring enough to be out there. It does raise a question, why does anyone care enough to be out there, or most of them? But, I mean, yeah, the top guys often don't
take part. Well, Mojo Rawley wasn't out there either, I don't think. Or was he? Maybe. But, yeah, you know, Jinder Mahal wasn't out there. And could they not with the God, that gender stuff. Like, I'm feeling sorry for Jinder Mahal because it's just like, well, we got nothing. Let's do another version. Let's stereotype him in an entirely different way. Like, let's just mock his faith and, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm not exactly the most, you know, defender of – I'll defend religious liberty, certainly, but I don't care necessarily about it in and of itself, the various ones. But – to just be like, yeah, let's mock this pseudo-spirituality thing that we don't, as a company or as management, we don't understand. We just,
or we think our fans think it's hilarious, so we're going to mock it.
In this one-dimensional cartoonish
totally.
Way.
Yeah. No, I think it's somewhat dangerous territory to do what they're doing and to have Seth be a guy who is
yeah,
like,
to have yeah. all the baby faces like go through the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks that they've done this, like look at them like, what an idiot. Like, who's falling for this, you know, pseudo guru crap?
Yeah. I mean, if I think Jinder's got to be more pushy and obnoxious about it than he is. I mean, simply stating an opinion that maybe burning things down isn't the way you want the world to work. I mean, it's just like, it's not.
I'm supposed to root against that?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, it's not crazy radical ideas he's throwing out there. So, I mean, at least Seth didn't like punch him in the face while his eyes were closed. He just walked away. So, all right. Mika Currents.
Did they ever explain? Did he just like say, hey, I got tired, I lost, and I've started to reevaluate my life? Did they ever explain like the change in attitude? And did they ever, speaking of explaining his gimmick, did they ever explain whatever happened to the other Singh brother?
No, they really, I think they're just probably coming out every other week and we just can't tell the difference. Like, they just were, it's just, they're all Sunil, but it's really the both of them, and they're just rotating weeks on and off.
No,
and
there's the one that looks like Hasan Minhaj hasn't shown up in months.
You're ruining my joke, but yeah.
No, because it's terrible.
Oh, fair enough. the guy's, I mean, he's hurt. I don't know if he's still hurt. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. Mika Kurt says, hey, Wade, I trust you're doing well. My wife and I listen to your Raw and SmackDown post shows every week. My question for you, is it bad that the only reason I watch Raw these days is to see how loud Roman Reigns gets booed? Is that what my 20-plus years of watching WWE has become? Please give us something new. And also, for the love, Roman, stop calling Lashley Bob. Travis, your opinion on whether it's hilarious or dickish for Roman to refer to a man who goes by Bobby Lashley as Bob.
Yeah, we talked about this a week or two ago in East Coast Cast. I don't have it's dickish, absolutely. I think that's the point. But I think I said I'd call him Robert. To really make the point. But of all the snide or mean or disrespectful things you could call somebody, a variation of their name? Is it a respectful variation of their name? Isn't the worst. It's just one of those things like, he's calling them Bob to get under his skin. And Lashley, to his credit, hasn't sold it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask. Is like, should he sell it or not? I just think it's not clever enough to do week after week. And you call people.
See, I do, because it's subtle. As subtle as, calling a person their name or again, a variation of their name can be. But he hasn't been like Bob. It's like that's his name, and he's not selling it like he's doing something clever or dickish or disrespectful.
But it inherently is. I mean, it's inherent. I mean, he's calling him Bob because he thinks it's funny to call somebody who goes by Bobby Bob. But it's not funny enough. It just doesn't send any message other than Reigns is trying to get under Lashley's skin. Lashley's not selling it, and it's not worth the effort.
It's a part of why, like, why would anybody root for for Roman Reigns the last, four or five weeks? Like, he's been an absolute jerk and not likable at all.
Yeah,
the Bobby thing, the context was, should men, grown men, still call themselves Bobby? And I was like, no one blinks twice at a Johnny, but if you're Timmy, it's like a big deal.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. All right, Eric G., VIP member from Charlotte. Hey, Wade and Travis, why was Seth Rollins distracted by Ziggler at the end of this match? If he were to get hit, wouldn't he win the match by DQ?
Yes, when he was on the top rope, I was like, let him hit you. And then he kicks him. Like, which should still be a DQ. It's just nonsense that we accept in wrestling. A guy jumps up on the apron and looks like he's going to hit somebody. But if you hit them first, the ref doesn't call it a DQ, but you're totally distracted. He got up there. But he certainly should have let Ziggler hit him.
Yeah. So to finish the question, but I'm with you. If he were to get hit, wouldn't he win the match by DQ and thus get McIntyre banned on Sunday? It would have been better if Rollins welcomed the hit to call Ziggler's bluff, and Ziggler just had to stand there, helpless to do anything. This made Ziggler look stupid for risking disqualification, and Rollins look stupid for taking the bait. I just became a New Japan fan after Saturday Show on Access, and it's stuff like this that makes it hard for me to keep being a WWE fan after watching a show like New Japan. Sorry for the rant. Have a good show. No need to apologize for rants.
Yeah, that'll happen. I mean, you'll see something, and you'll be like, "Wow!" You won't realize, like, "Man, I've been," I like logic and common sense in my combat simulated combat sports.
Yes, absolutely. Cool. So, Travis on social media, it's at Travlord. Check out your East Coast Cast by searching PW Torch or East Coast Cast, or just go to eastcoastcast.com live on Wednesday night starting at 7 Eastern.
6:30 Eastern.
6:30 Eastern. Okay, good. So starting at 6:30 Eastern every Wednesday night, taking calls and then available for download on Thursdays. Travis, thank you very much. Good having you on the show again.
Appreciate it, Wade. Thanks.
So tomorrow I'll be joined by Jake Barnett from ProWrestling.net. He covers SmackDown for that website, and it's been a while since he's been on, so he'll be on with me as co-host tomorrow. Join us live at WadeKellerPostShow.com. We'll be live about 5 minutes after SmackDown ends, so tune in, call. You can also email WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com with your thoughts that you have during SmackDown or right afterwards. You can ask us questions or just vent or rant. That's WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. If you attend a live wrestling event anytime, like our correspondents did for us this weekend in Philadelphia and New York at Madison Square Garden, please send us results. Say who, just number the matches. First match, this guy beat that guy. And then talk about the match a little bit. Then label it match number two and say this guy beat that guy or that woman beat that woman. And give us little details on crowd reaction, finishing moves, what you thought of the match. And send those reports to pwtorch@pwtorch.com. Easy to remember, pwtorch@pwtorch.com. That's not just WWE. If you attend Ring of Honor, we'd love to get more live events from Ring of Honor shows, NXT live events, New Japan, European indie shows, if you attend those. Indie shows that have some bigger names on them, either rising names through the indie scene or veterans working appearances at indie shows. We love to keep our readers informed, and it helps me stay informed, quite frankly, when we get reports from listeners and readers who attend live events. We can't be everywhere, but our listeners collectively are everywhere, so you can help us cover that. Same thing if you have a news tip. If something crosses your desk, so to speak, in your area, if you see local matches coming up for WWE where they announce what the dark matches are going to be or a house show lineup, or if there's some newsworthy thing happening in the media related to pro wrestling, or even something you just come across in mainstream media on the internet or otherwise that you think would be of interest to us, drop us a line at pwtorch@pwtorch.com, and we'll throw it in a news update on pwtorch.com. By the way, if you are not checking out pwpodcasts.com, you ought to be. It's our sister site that's sort of like the Rotten Tomatoes of wrestling podcasts. It's written recaps and analysis and grades of pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. And so when you are listening to a pro wrestling podcast hosted by various pro wrestling personalities and you want to see what our reporters said about it, you can read our reviews and our analysis of those. And it's also a good way to just catch up on shows that you haven't gotten around to listening to or don't have time to listen to or will never listen to because you don't like them, but you want to know what's said on them. I mean, whatever the reason is, that's what pwpodcast.com is for. It's written recaps and reviews of the many pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts out there. And we're always looking for new volunteers. If you're interested in helping with that website by sending us summaries and reports on a certain podcast that you're a fan of or just listen to, and you wouldn't mind helping us cover more of the podcast because we don't have quite all of them covered that we'd like to, drop me a line at WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. If you're interested in helping us out and contributing to what is, I think, a pretty cool concept for a site. And Jeff Rush and Andrew Socek do a great job. By the way, Andrew and Jeff host a VIP exclusive podcast now, just for a few weeks now, just started a few weeks ago, called the Pro Wrestling Podcast Podcast. It's very meta. It's a podcast that reviews in podcast format other pro wrestling podcasts. It's a blast. It's a great way to keep up on what is going on other pro wrestling podcasts if you don't have 60 hours to listen to all of them. Well, Jeff and Andrew either listen to them or read reviews of them and then go, you know, listen to key parts of them. And they talk about the biggest stories, the biggest controversies, the biggest talking points, the missed opportunities by interviewers, the career damaging quotes from people, whatever it is, you know, that makes news. They are talking about it on that weekly show. It's a new VIP exclusive show. So many cool things come with the VIP membership. Go check out details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. We'd love to have you as a PW Torch VIP member. And for as little as $8.25 a month, you can get basically, it's like the Netflix of pro wrestling podcasts. I mean, just an incredible array of topics covering current events, history, niche topics, with a wide array of personalities. It's one of the real strong points since I launched the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter back in 1987, is I've always sought to bring in different voices and different areas of expertise. I can't be an expert on everything. And I don't think my opinion or interpretation of what happens is the only one that counts, and I never have. And I, from a very young age when I started the newsletter, I've always brought people on board who I thought were smarter than me or knew more than me on certain topics or just had a different way of a different lens through which they viewed and analyzed wrestling. And that is reflective in the wide array of VIP podcasts. I host a lot of them that are VIP exclusive. In fact, about a dozen more per week in addition to the four free ones here. But we got a lot of other people. Alan Forel, Alan Cunahan, is just incredible. He's not on this. He's from Europe. He's not someone who's on the Wade Keller podcast with me, so you might not be familiar with him, but VIP members certainly are. He was just phenomenal on the post New Japan roundtable that Sean Radican hosted for VIP members. It went up on Sunday. They spent about 2 hours talking about the G1 special from San Francisco at the Cow Palace. And Alan's knowledge is just, his enthusiasm, his knowledge, his expertise is just off the charts and reason enough to go VIP. If you want to learn more about Japanese wrestling, the European indie scene, and the U.S. indie scene, Alan's your guy. I mean, it's unmatched what he knows and what he delivers. And his show, Pro Wrest Paradise, drops once a week for VIP members. So can't say enough good about him. So many things I can talk about that I'm proud of with the team at PW Torch VIP. It's just the next level of wrestling coverage. It's timely. It's thorough. And it's not just one or two people's opinions. And it's people who know what they're talking about and fit the Torch vibe, the tone and the brand of the way the Torch covers wrestling. So check it out. We'd love to have you as a member. PWTorchVIPinfo.com is where you want to go. Be part of something cool. If you're a pro wrestling fan and you're not a VIP member, I very much appreciate you listening to this show. But you really are missing out on a ton, and you just won't know what you're missing out on until you try that membership. So if you made it this deep into the podcast, you're probably a big fan of what we do, but you're missing out on a lot of what we do. And we're entering a very interesting time as Extreme Rules comes up on Sunday and then SummerSlam and everything going on with New Japan is so exciting. The ROH continuing to be relevant and producing the content that they are with the relationship with New Japan and their pay-per-views and their weekly TV and the names that they have. And then the Brock Lesnar UFC situation is fascinating and more. And you just learn wrestling history. We cut through the crap. I mean, that's what our job is. We're independent. We don't work for anybody. We're not hoping to work for anybody in the business. We don't put our friendships with our people, with the people that we know in the business, ahead of serving our listeners and readers. And that's been our mission from day one. And it's really clear in the way that we cover pro wrestling. It helps us. It makes us stand out from the crowd. We have connections, but our commitment is to listeners and readers and members above protecting those friendships or worrying about ruffling feathers. And that comes through very clear in the way that we cover the business. We're big fans and we are enthusiastic about covering this, but we are not apologists for it. And you will notice that. So anyway, PWTorchVIPinfo.com. Jump on board. Check it out. I got 30-plus years of archives to dive into. You'll never be bored. And you will every day feel smarter and appreciate wrestling more. And I think enjoy what you do watch and read about wrestling and listen to wrestling more with the information that you get with your VIP membership day to day. New content every day that's VIP exclusive. All right. I can go on and on. I love what we do. I'm so proud of our team. I want you on board, but I'll stop the plug there, and I'll wrap up the show. I'll be by tomorrow, as I said, with Jake Barnett. And then later in the week, we'll have our flagship, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast over at Podcast One. If you missed Interview Friday last week, you missed a good one. Go seek it out. Download it on the other feed, the Blue Logo feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast feed. Cody Rhodes was fantastic. I really love the interview. There's a full transcription, by the way, exclusively for VIP members on the PW Torch VIP website, which is ad-free and plug-free and has all kinds of exclusive content throughout the week. We transcribed the whole Cody Rhodes interview. So if you want to read it instead of listen, you can do that or skim over it. But I encourage you to listen to it. I thought Cody was impressive. And spoke very freely. At one point, I was like, are you sure you want to say that? Like, are you sure after saying that WWE wants you in their locker room again? At one point in the interview, I asked him that because of what he said. So check it out if you missed it. It's a good one. All right, that'll do it for me for today. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Travis Bryant, my co-host. Thanks to Adrian, our on-site correspondent. Thanks to our callers and emailers. And until tomorrow, Wade Keller signing off.